Are you interested in understanding GLP-1 medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, or Mounjaro? Then join us on The Plus Sides, Cracking the Obesity Code, the groundbreaking podcast helping people change their lives one episode at a time. The Plus Sides podcast is a disruptor. We're breaking down barriers, smashing stereotypes, and sharing inspiring stories that'll leave you feeling informed and empowered. Join us every week to learn from doctors who are specialists around GLP-1 medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, or Mounjaro. They'll provide you with science and facts to validate these incredible stories. But that's not all. We'll also bring you the voices of the GLP-1 Mounjaro TikTok community, real people who face the challenges of obesity, related diseases and disorders, and discovered the incredible plus sides of GLP-1 medications. Our episodes are filled with heartwarming stories, laughter, and moments of triumph. You'll connect with our amazing community members who are reclaiming their health and experiencing their fullest lives. Are you ready to embark on a journey of discovery and empowerment? Tune in to The Plus Sides, Cracking the Obesity Code, and together we'll change the narrative around obesity and end the stigma. Subscribe now on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform and join our incredible community. Let's celebrate the plus sides of life together, because every story deserves to be heard. Every life deserves to shine, and everyone deserves access to expert knowledge and medication. The Plus Sides Podcast. You're not alone. It's not your fault.
And weight loss with Iveem, the top prescriber of GLP-1 medications. GLP-1s combat cravings, stabilize blood sugar, boost energy, and balance A1C levels for a regulated body and a kick-started weight loss journey. Iveem makes medical weight loss accessible, affordable, and personal. Schedule a free consultation with a medical provider to explore if GLP-1 medications are the right fit for you. Goodbye restrictions. Hello, Iveem. Your path to sustainable weight loss.
Officially down 120 pounds.
I am down 34 pounds.
Food cravings have subsided. I'm feeling amazing in my clothes.
I'm feeling better. I feel like I have more energy.
The process is a breeze. I can message my doctor at any time, and the entire prescription and medication was sent right to my door. Weight Care has helped over 15,000 people lose weight. Join them today and get $150 off your first month. Book your appointment at joinweightcare.com.
Change rooted in lasting, evidence-backed wellness. Say goodbye to unsustainable diet culture with Friday's Weight Management Program, a nationwide virtual care platform built to address your biology.
The reason why I started Fridays is that I noticed that patients with obesity are often improperly treated and told to eat less and move more. Well, the science is in, and we now know that obesity is a chronic medical condition like high blood pressure and diabetes, and that there are many factors, including your genetics, that play a role in the development of obesity. We understand this at Fridays, and that's why we make sure to order labs and specific medications that work with you and your biology.
We're revolutionizing weight management, steering clear of weight loss fads, and embracing a scientifically driven approach. Our program charts a path to a healthier you, leveraging evidence-based treatments, nutritional support, and a team of specialized clinicians dedicated to guiding you towards optimal health. We ensure swift appointment scheduling and provide a knowledgeable insurance team for handling prior authorizations for GLP-1 medication. Fridays will also provide safe, compounded GLP-1 medication alternatives with fair and industry-leading pricing. Our eligibility quiz will match you with the provider that corresponds with your medical needs. Go to joinfridays.com to begin your journey to a healthier you today.
Have any trouble navigating coping skills in your life where you use food, alcohol, or other drugs, shopping, gambling, sex, or if you are obese and you're wondering what medical solutions are available to you, or if you have children that are overweight and you're wondering what to do about it, I highly recommend that you listen to my new podcast, The Easy Way Out with Dr. Joy Bracey. I've lost 165 pounds over the last 16 months, and it's been an emotional journey more than anything. Easy Way Out started is a podcast about whether or not I should have weight loss surgery to handle my chronic obesity, but it ended up in places I did not expect. My personal favorite episode is Shut Up Fatty, and it's with my daughter and my son, who are now adults, and we covered what it was like for them to grow up in a fat family and how I handled the fact that they were overweight and what I could have done better as their mom. You'll be tearing up one second and cracking up the next. You can find The Easy Way Out with Dr. Joy Bracy anywhere you listen.
But Lauren talked about women in lap band and men in lap band. And so that's a very interesting point. I don't think it's period cramps and bloating. I think it's pregnancy. I think it's pregnancy.
Well, I had my issues before. I definitely had my, and my cousin was never pregnant. I had definitely had my issues with band before I was ever pregnant. But yeah, I mean, it did slip, and I had it removed after I had my daughter.
Right. So the pregnancy likely contributed to the slip, because vomiting a lot will cause that band to slip, but so will the pressure rising.
Like that big change.
Pushing everything up. Like that uterus growing pushes all the organs up.
Moving all your anatomy.
That lap band can't go up, but the stomach between it can go up, and that can push that band tighter down.
That happened to me when I was pregnant. Wow. I had miscarriages before, and I waited until, like I was like 8 weeks until I really thought it was sticking. And then I went, and they were like, we should have gotten this out forever ago, because all the saliva, because my stomach, the uterus is getting pushing up on everything.
Right.
It was all coming up, and they were like, why did you wait so long? I'm like, well, I mean, because it sucks getting all the,
I didn't have any issues during my pregnancy with my band, luckily. But I truly believe that I was very responsible with it in certain ways, where when I was vomiting a lot, I would go and get it loosened, you know, and I would give my stomach some time to heal, because I know that it swells and then that only makes it worse. Actually, when I was on the reunion, on the Housewives reunion, the 1 year to show my weight loss, I had gone that my famous thing where I asked Teresa to spell napalm. I was so angry in that moment. And Dr. Rosen, maybe you could tell me if I'm right or wrong, but you tense up, and when you tense up, and please correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't want to put out any wrong information, but when you tense up, it's not just this that tenses up, it's your whole body.
Everything.
And I got so upset and so angry, I believe my entire body swelled, like my stomach and everything. And I went backstage, and I was also doing the makeup on set, because like I said, I used to be a makeup artist. So I was doing my mom and my aunt's makeup on set as well. And I had to say to the other makeup artist, he had to go and finish my job, because for touch-ups and everything. I sat in the back and I threw up bile for the rest of that reunion because I was so stressed, and the band tightened, well, not the band didn't tighten, my stomach swelled so much around the band that it restricted me so much. I couldn't even swallow my saliva. And when I tell you, this is disgusting, but you know, bile's very thick.
Yeah.
They gave me a plastic bag to throw up in. When I tell you, this bag was standing up on its own. It was so full of like this thick mucousy bile that
Teresa's
it was just on the floor sitting up.
Teresa will do it to you.
I don't have any, I mean, listen, I'm so past that now. You know, I have my thoughts on everybody, but I'm so past that now.
Joking.
Yeah, but I was so upset that it did that to me.
No, you're absolutely right. That tensing up of your core and everything, it raises the intra-abdominal pressure. It can push the stomach tighter up into the band and cause an occlusion, occlusion of the tunnel, of the opening, you know, inside the band, and close that up, and then nothing can get down. And anything that sort of squirts up, you have to vomit. I want to spend 1 minute educating on insulin resistance, and I think this is going to blow your mind.
Yeah.
So think about insulin resistance. So insulin is a hormone that the body creates for two reasons. Primarily, it's to take the sugar and fat that's in our blood supply. After it's been absorbed by our intestine, it goes into our blood supply. And it needs to get stored in our muscle, in our fat stores. And insulin allows the body to pull sugar and fat out of the blood supply and store it for later. And it also functions as a fullness hormone, because you got all this sugar and fat in your blood supply. You don't need to be eating a ton more. So it hits your brain and tells you not to be hungry anymore. And we know that over time, because we eat such processed food, and because food is so abundant, there's a high level of circulating insulin to to deal with all these calories in our blood. So our brain becomes immune to it. It becomes resistant to it. And our body becomes resistant to it. So you get insulin resistance, where we don't remove as much of the sugar and fat in our blood that we typically do. And that causes diabetes, because insulin resistance leads to diabetes, and it causes the development of plaques. And, you know, so you can get strokes and heart attacks and things like that. And then you get obesity because you have all this fat that's there. In addition to being in your blood, it's, you've overloaded your storage system, and that causes inflammation. And we know obesity is associated with total body inflammation. And inflammation, the body is in crisis. How does the body deal with being in crisis? Well, it needs to have lots of sugar and fat in the blood so that it has energy to deal with this inflammatory state. So you have obesity causing inflammation, which causes further insulin resistance so that there's more.
So it's just this big cyclical mess
in the blood, and it all it just feeds on itself, and you end up in this chronic disease state. And these medications, because they help you overcome that insulin resistance by making the receptors more sensitive to insulin, and by also causing your pancreas to create more insulin, it sort of, it jumps out of that imbalance and allows your body to start eating less. So less is coming into the system, and manage it better. And all of a sudden you can re-enter a state of equilibrium as you lose that body inflammation, lose that weight, and come into like a new, healthier homeostasis.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you for saying that. That helped me understand that a lot more. That was Lauren and I talked earlier. We need that KISS method, right?
The insulin resistance helps make you obese, and then the obesity helps make you more insulin resistant.
So you just can't get out of it. And then the medicine treats that dysfunction, right? Like going on in the body. And then your brain starts, like, it's the reward center of the brain. So you were talking about food addiction and stuff earlier, right?
And alcohol.
Feeling like you don't, go ahead and tell us, Dr. Iverson.
No, with addiction. The GLP-1 medication, it makes the food less rewarding because it disrupts that cycle where you're looking for that next fix. If it makes the dopamine release in your brain less intense, and therefore you don't chase it as much because the food doesn't release that dopamine. So you're not reinforced to go for the next bite or go for the next meal. And the same thing with alcohol. I have a patient who was a 6-beer-a-day drinker. And as soon as she started these medications, I saw her the next month. She said, I had 2 beers the whole month.
Because
it just didn't do it for her anymore. Yeah.
In the beginning, I couldn't drink at all. And I am like, I drink martinis, but I drink just like, I'll be like, can I have a martini with no vermouth? And they're like, so you want vodka in a chilled martini glass? And I'm like, yes. so I would, and the only like sugary drink that I'll drink is an espresso martini. But I'll drink, like, I would drink like a couple, like at dinner. I would at least like 3 at dinner. And my functional medicine doctor was like, just so you know, like, anyone that has more than 5 drinks a week is considered alcoholic. Well, then I'm a raging alcoholic. and he had wanted me to give up alcohol and something else he wanted me to give up. And I was like, no, I was like, I'm not, I was like, I'm already giving up gluten. I'm already giving up dairy. And I have Meniere's disease, which is something in your ear, where you shouldn't have caffeine. Oh, it was alcohol and caffeine. And I was like, no. And I even said to my ENT, I was like, am I going to go deaf in my left ear eventually? And he was like, with the version that you have and, you know, the tones that you're hearing and this and that. He's like, no. He's like, but alcohol and caffeine will just make it a little harder to deal with. And I was like, I'm not giving it up. You know what I mean? And
that's Italian of you. She's like, take the gluten, take the dairy, and stopping at alcohol.
I'll suffer. If I have to have vertigo every now and then to be able to have alcohol and some caffeine, then, you know, I'm a single mom. I need my caffeine and my alcohol. But now it's like, you know, I'll have maybe 1 martini at dinner. And sometimes my mom gets mad. She's like, you're wasting my fucking money. You only drank half your martini. And I'm like, I don't want it, you know? And then other times I'm like, I'll take a second. But it's definitely helped me not drink, I would say, more than half as much.
Yeah.
That's a huge benefit.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Alcohol is poison. It's plain and simple. Poison to your liver, unnecessary calories, poison to your weight loss journey. So cutting back.
Not to interrupt you, because I know that you have to, I know that you have to go, and I hate to interrupt, but you mentioned liver. My functional medicine doctor, when he was running all my, you know, going over all my blood work, he was like, I worry that you might have, I think it was like something, liver, I don't know, liver disease, I don't know, something. Liver? He was like, your liver counts are alarmingly high. He was like, I need you, and this is before Manjaro. He was like, I need you to stop drinking. And I was like, he's like, for 2 weeks, and then we're going to do the blood thing again. And I was like, I can't stop drinking for 2 weeks. Like, how am I going to do this? So I tried really hard, and I think I made it almost 2 weeks. I did the blood work, and he was like, okay, well, and he said, okay, they're better. Like, the counts are better, but they're still not good. He said, so now we have to do more testing and this and that. He's like, I'm actually very worried about your liver. He's like, we need to figure something out with this. So he was going to recommend me another doctor, whatever. In the meantime, while all this was happening, I discovered Manjaro. Perfection. Everything 3 months later, he was like, and he didn't want to prescribe me Manjaro. He didn't want me to take it. He was trying to advise me against it. And he said to me, he was like, Lauren, this drug, whatever, he said, you have made me a believer. He said, because all of your levels went from being either way too up here or way too down here. They were never where they needed to be. He said, in the 3 months since I've seen you, since you've been on this drug, things that I thought, he's like, I was worried that you were going to have to get like a liver transplant.
Yeah.
He said, everything has literally gone from being a mess, even with the vitamins and even with, you know, giving up gluten and dairy. It got better from those things, but the Manjaro fixed everything.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's always been about, you got to go, doctor.
I got to go. Okay. I just want to say this was a huge
patience
pleasure.
To see.
Great to meet you, Lauren. Good to see everyone. Lydia, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I'll see you on TikTok.
See you on TikTok.
I wish we had more time together. I'm sorry my story took so long. It took up so much of your time.
Kim has my email.
I do.
Give you my email.
And he's got a podcast.
I would love to come on your podcast one day.
I have a podcast, The Healthy Way. And you can see me on Dr. Daniel Rosen, Dr. Daniel Rosen on TikTok and Instagram. But reach out to me, and I'm happy to like help explore some of the stuff, hiatal hernia, et cetera.
Right. He wants to get in there and see all the things.
All right, bye guys.
Thank you, Dr. Rosen.
Bye.
Thanks.
Isn't he the best? Wow. I love him.
Yes.
So
it's so funny. I saw him. He like duetted one of my TikToks, and when he came on, I was like, oh shit, that's a guy. What's on TikTok? So, yeah, nice guy.
Yeah. He's great. Fantastic. He's come on a few times. Like I had, so when we first started this in season one, this is season three. We first started in season one. We had an episode that I called Fat and Lazy. It was episode 5. And I did that on purpose because I'm trying to incite, I'm trying to change things. Right. Yeah. And I talked to them about my lap band, and I was like, the shame of it all. Like the fact that I had figured out how to trick it and then eventually was gaining weight and all of those different things. I was like, there was no way I was going to go to my doctor and go, I actually still binge eat. I just do it a little bit at a time all day long. Right. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't going to say that. And I said, and if you looked at my life, you know, you would say like that equals a successful person. I had a career, family, friends, you know, all the things that we decide equals success. Right. You know, but it never felt like enough because I couldn't control my food and I couldn't control my weight. And he said to me in that moment, well, you didn't have the tools, Kim. You didn't have the tools. You only had the tool that you needed. It wasn't your fault. Like, you know, everybody has a problem, but it is genetics. It is like we just learned from Dr. Antia that was on our show that 70% of your weight is predetermined. It is out of your control. There's nothing that you can do. 70%. And that's if you don't have something additional like PCOS, right? Or other issues. Mm-hmm. And so there's not, we keep putting these like this blame on us, but truthfully, our body, right, is sending all of these messages to our brain to tell us to eat constantly. Because
our chemistry is already decided.
It's almost like it thinks we're starving, right? Like, and so that's what it's doing. And finding a way to deal with that, whether it was surgery, because one thing he did told us in that episode, Lauren, is that when they were doing gastric bypass, they were having diabetics leave the hospital off insulin. Like it was like curing like their diabetes. And they were like, what if we reverse engineered this? And that's what these medicines are. Mm-hmm. That's what these medicines are like. That to me, that was the keep it simple, stupid thing, right? Like it's, that's what they did. They figured it out and they were like, okay, if we create that hormone in excess, because we know people with obesity don't have enough of it, if you will. Like, I'm oversimplifying, right? Then by doing that, it's going to get them to where they have all these same benefits, and the fatty liver, like you were talking about, all these different things, all these health conditions get better because it's treating the actual dysfunction. The weight loss is just, it follows. Right.
The weight loss, well, kind
of, weight loss is a symptom of the disease.
That's why I love functional medicine, because it was where the gastro was like, oh, well, you have IBS, let's get you some medicine. And I was like, that's not good enough. I want to work from the root of the problem. And I think that that's what, even when it came to a lot of my anxiety, was from how heavy I was. A lot of just, you know, even, you know, just feeling, you know, just mental health issues and things like that, you know, that it stemmed from my weight, you know, and now I feel I'm a better mom. I'm a better friend. I think of things so much differently. I'm less judgmental. It's funny. We're going to Disney in a couple of weeks, and I hate Disney. I hate Disney.
The lines or just,
well, we don't go on the lines, because luckily I will only go with my dad or somebody that could, you know, afford to get us a VIP tour type thing. So I'm like, if one of my friends is like, we got the VIP tour, we're going to Disney, I'm like, all right, I'll be there. But if I got to go on lines, I'm just not going, you know, and because I know I can't afford to do the tour. So I want my daughter, every time we've been, the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique has been closed because of COVID. So we're going to be in Tampa for a cheer competition. So I said to my dad, I was like, listen, like, she's seven. This is probably our last chance to have the magical moment of the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. So let's just go for one day. So that's what we're doing. And one of my best friends is coming with us. And she was like, I'm so excited. I love Disney. And I was like, oh my God. I said, I'm excited too. I said, but I hate Disney. Yeah. And she was like, no way. Who hates Disney? And I don't like crowds. I don't like the heat. You know, so Fat Lauren is thinking, number one, I already have anxiety because I'm uncomfortable. No, I remember one time someone had said to me, if you go on vacation anywhere right now, where would you go? Like, if you could do anything, you could be anywhere you want. Let's go, because we just want you to be happy. So let's just go. And I said, I don't want to go. And they said, why? And I said, because my dream vacation is to be able to go on a yacht in the south of France, somewhere,
somewhere exotic.
Bora Bora, whatever, you know, one of those mega yachts with the whole staff and all that stuff. Like, that is my dream bucket list vacation, do something like that. So I said, that's what I would want to do. I said, and I don't want to go like this.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, you can put me there right now and I won't be happy. You can't put me anywhere that's going to make me happy.
Yeah.
You could give me everything I've wanted in my life. You know, I have a beautiful little girl. I have a beautiful home. I have a good job. I have a great family. Nothing is going to make me happy because I'm not happy with myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
that's so important.
I said to my friend, I said, it's funny because I'm excited for Disney.
Yeah.
And I said, maybe Fat Lauren hates Disney. You know what I mean? Like, maybe Fat Lauren will like it. You know, I think the noises and the crowds and stuff like that will still be a little, you know, sensory overload for me and make me a little crazy. But I think not having my thighs rubbed together and not feeling out of breath,
like,
walking
hot and miserable.
Feeling good while I'm there, feeling pretty while I'm there, you know, like, all of those things just make my life better as a whole, you know? And I think, you know, a lot of people don't understand, you know, it's like, oh, just get on a treadmill. Like, no, that's not, you know, that's not how it works.
People that say that, though, is I always say, do you think I haven't tried that?
Yeah. It's like,
middle school, high school, college, I played competitive soccer all those years and I was still overweight. I was in college. I was running 6 to 8 miles a day during practice season. And I was still overweight. It doesn't, if you have that biochemical dysfunction, it doesn't, the exercise doesn't fix it.
It only takes you so far. You know, like, I could never lose more than 30 on my own, like 30.
Oh, no. I have lost more than 30, but I would gain it back.
Yeah.
You know, and the doctors would say, like, listen, the yo-yoing is more unhealthy than anything else. And it cracks me up when people say, oh, well, you know, I have diabetes and I can't get the drug. Then how come we can all get the drug?
Yeah, I don't know.
Listen, there are times that I'm definitely like, I try to go lower on my dose, or sometimes I'll be like, you know, I'm going to go higher this month or whatever. And I can't get, you know, a 7.5 or a 10 or a 12 or something like that. So, yeah. You know, that I understand, but like, you can get it. It's just sometimes you can't get the 2.5. You can't get the 5. You know what I mean? Sometimes you can't get the dose you want, well, but you can always get something higher or lower. And you just search for it.
And at the end of the day, it's not those of us that are taking its fault that it's not that way. It's that way because these companies are not producing enough. They're not meeting a demand.
Depends. That's why we can get a compound now.
Yeah.
Yeah. The medicine is plenty available. It's the pen.
The thing is also like people are like, it's a diabetes drug. Okay. But they figured that it works out for something else. So why can't it be a weight loss drug well, you know, and it is, but that's the thing. It is now. Yeah. So like, why are we getting attacked for taking this diabetes drug that was like weight loss is a major issue as well. And guess what weight loss can cause?
Diabetes.
Weight gain can cause diabetes. And I mean, Janine, I guess you know this. Yeah, you were saying that you're a diabetic. I guess you know more than we know. I mean, as a diabetic yourself, how do you feel about people that don't have diabetes taking the drug?
Yeah, I honestly, from day one, I never understood, and I'm not saying this to be politically correct, but I never understood why people were so against medical treatments, treating quote unquote off-label things. And I truly believe, even though I have type 2 diabetes, trust, I would not want anyone to have to go through what I go through.
Would you have taken it, Janine? If someone had told you, if someone had said to you, hey, you'll never get type 2 diabetes if you take this now, would you have taken it?
If I would have had the education, because even for those of us, and I think it's, and I've never said this publicly, but I think because so many people feel slighted because of obesity and, you know, all of the stigmas that go with that. And so you have this wonder drug that comes on the market, changes people's lives. And you have so many stigmas and so many people have their own thoughts and beliefs from however they were raised or however their, what their experiences are, and you collide those, it is going to be cataclysmic, which I think had started to happen last year. I saw a news report again today. I thought that narrative had stopped. Now, I think a lot of it is misinformation. Now, I think a lot of people think that people that have diabetes, we get carte blanche to medications. We get carte blanche to education. No, we don't.
It's not true. My husband's a diabetic. Now. It doesn't happen.
I'm actually learning more now because of the different comorbidities. Like, I didn't know what insulin resistance was. Right. I didn't know all these different things. So we're all learning together. We really are. And I think that many people that have diabetes, they're like, well, I get it first. And it's almost like a pseudo status thing. And I hate to say that because it's like, well, I have first dibs to this and you'll have to wait.
Because and I see it. I think part of it is like this de-evolution of society too. Like back in the day, people cared about other people. People aren't like that more so anymore. Most people aren't like that, right? It's kind of flipped.
I think it's just all of what a person can get.
And well, and the other, like if they thought of it, but if they thought of it in a way of, well, if this person that has insulin resistance or has obesity, if they can take this medicine, they don't go through what I went through. Like you said you had sort of obesity that came on later in life and that developed into diabetes. If a person that was in your same spot got to take this medication and never became a diabetic, like that's an amazing thing, but people don't look at it that way.
They would have.
Your name hates for anybody.
Like the old saying says, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. An yep. ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So yeah. I am pro these medications being accessible to anyone, because it's just like in the words of Dr. Catherine Toomer, if it's working, it's treating something.
Yeah. yeah.
If yeah. it's working,
there are people that take it something. And it doesn't work. Yeah. But they did. We did learn recently yeah. too, Lauren, that only 7% of people, only 7% of people that have obesity, right? Only 7% don't have insulin resistance. So the majority of the people that have obesity have insulin resistance, but they don't catch it until they become pre-diabetic. Mm-hmm. They don't. And so but you've usually had it like for years and years, and your body can't process insulin efficiently. So it just stores it in fat because it doesn't know mm-hmm. what to do with it. So it just stores it in fat, and that's yeah. what it is. And so the medicine yeah. actually treats what's wrong. And then that's why you lose weight. And that's why the brain yeah. gets worked like it should, because everything is affecting yeah. your brain, which affects your decisions, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just cracks me up because people will always exactly. say like, oh, well, it's for diabetics. And it's like, I'm taking care of my body to make You're sure that I don't get something like diabetes, so I don't yeah. become a diabetic, you know? And it does yeah. run in my family. I mean, my uncles have it. And, you know, I've yeah. always seen my family have diabetes and things like that. And I've always been worried myself. I mean, my blood pressure has been so high at yeah. times that, like, you know, I would be laying on my mother-in-law's couch and she would be taking my blood pressure there, and she'd be like, wow, it's like, I can't believe you're breathing right now, you know, because yeah. I was so heavy. And now yeah. I don't have to worry about those yeah. things. So,
yeah,
you know, I think it's definitely,
well, sick people, you know, deserve
people
medicine,
just like
Lauren.
To hate. People thing. Just like to be yeah. shitty. And people, mm-hmm. you know, when you're fat, you're too fat and you're gross. And when you're skinny, I look sick, you know. And I tell oh, people yeah. all the time, like, did you ever look at any of the other housewives' daughters or anybody else mm-hmm. that's literally the same weight as I am and say that they look sick? No, but you're mm-hmm. just used to seeing me at 200 pounds since I'm 20 years old.
Right.
And, you know, now I'm 115, 120 ish. Right. Yeah. And now I look sick. You know what I yeah. mean? And, yeah. and I don't think I look sick. And it's funny no, because the people on TikTok that don't, people on TikTok that never watch a show and don't know me, they'll come and be like, I have no idea who you are, but you don't look sick to me.
Yeah.
They'll be like, you look really, relative, you look right? healthy it's to me. Relative. Like you look really good and healthy. You look like a normal person to me. Yeah. And it's mm-hmm. funny because I'm like, yeah, because you never saw me heavy.
Yeah.
So these people who are used to seeing me yeah. so heavy see me and they're like, wow, that's sad. Why is it sad? Because it was also sad when I was overweight. You know, people yeah. say, oh, it looks like you're gaining weight again or looking mm-hmm. super fat or whatever. Like, but now, mm-hmm. now it's sad that I'm skinny. You yeah. know?
No.
No, it's not. People yeah. are just assholes.
I would like for my hair to grow back. That's the only thing. But people like to say, they're like, it's because of Mounjaro. It's because of Mounjaro. I'm like, it's not because of Mounjaro. It's because of the weight loss. It's because of the rapid weight loss. So I'm like, it's really not the drug. And honestly, I could be doing more to eat and make myself more healthy. I could be having a protein shake every morning. I don't do it. I could be, you know, I could be making sure that I get more protein and more vegetables and things like that. I don't. I just eat whatever's in my fridge, you know, because yeah. I also think of it as like, I'm not hungry. So when I go food shopping, I'm like, nothing really looks appealing to me, you know? Yeah. So then I might mm-hmm. have like something that's not as nutritional in my fridge as I should be having. So that those are things that, again, that's my fault. Things that I need to do to get myself healthier.
That people that have no issues metabolically probably live like that. Cause I'm pretty sure they
yeah,
do.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess you're right. Maybe.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like the only reason we think that that's weird is because we've yeah. always had to restrict, do all the things we've talked yeah. about and restrict and restrain and think and like all these different things. I see people and like, it's very easy to accept, right? I think like in our society, people are like, that person can eat whatever they want and never gain mm-hmm. weight. They're great. They're just one of those kinds of people, but they mm-hmm. are unwilling to accept that the exact opposite is true. Right. Yeah. Because those yeah. people are metabolically healthy and sound. Right. Mm-hmm. So if we're taking a medication that treats our metabolic dysfunction, right, like we've been talking about, why can't we just eat what's in the fucking fridge? You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, why
yeah.
can't
well, yeah. I mean, I'll you know what I mean? Be like, I just need something to come fill me out.
It, though.
Yeah.
But huh? I mean, like, why do people who, you know, struggle with obesity have to justify what they eat?
I don't know. Nobody else does.
Right. Right. Yeah. Because I have a protein shake here. Okay, yeah, great. Yep, because most of the days, you know what I'm doing? I'm double fisting because I have to stay hydrated, right? But why? But why?
Can we all have our Stanleys,
right? But I mean, why is it that we have to justify what we eat, and so much of that is internalized?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've been telling people who come on my TikTok lives. I'm like, you know what? The days of restriction are over, love bug. Yeah. We are not restricting anything. And people will say, oh, well, I'm having cravings, and they shame themselves. I'm like, well, eat the sugar.
Honestly, yeah. If you just eat a little bit of it, like that's, yeah, but that's the difference. Other normal humans can, right. But that's,
yeah,
that's what other people do that aren't sick, right? They can.
The thing that shifted for me was like when you brought it to my attention, you said, Kim, you said food doesn't have moral value. And I know you got that from somewhere else. That's okay. But that shifted for me. Cause I was like, I can't have that thing. That's bad. I can't have that thing. Right. And we know that like, some evil diet company taught us that, right?
Oh yeah.
But you know, we can't have that thing because that thing's I don't think anymore. If I want a caramel delight Girl Scout cookie, I'm eating five of them. Okay.
Oh yeah. I wish I could have gluten and dairy, trust me, I would right now probably be sitting here with a piece of ciabatta bread with fresh mozzarella or a fresh slice of New Jersey pizza. Trust me.
I'm gluten free.
Don't do it to me, Lauren. Oh, I miss the pizza so bad.
Yeah.
So I'm actually originally from South Jersey. And when I go back to visit my family, I get four things. I always get a Wawa hoagie. I always have Jersey pizza. I'm from South Jersey, so of course I want a Philly cheesesteak, and I always have Chinese food when I'm in New Jersey. Those four things.
That's
those
like your main thing. But that those makes sense though. Like that's what Lauren was saying. Like, is if she misses like a week of her shot, she's like, all right, let's talk about what we're eating. You know?
Yeah. But I love food. I miss pizza very much, but I feel like you said, Lydia, you said that, you know, you want to have, you know, you still eat Girl Scout cookies or, you know, you want to be able to have whatever you want. I mean, I would too.
Because I still eat Doritos. She makes fun of me. She called me up one day and I'm sitting there eating a Dorito. Well, I ate one and then I ate like two or three at a time. And she goes, are those Quest chips? And I was like, I don't eat that shit. These are Doritos.
Oh, no. That's the thing. Like for me now, I will eat whatever the fuck I want. Like, and you know, I worry sometimes because I'm like, what if I do go off this? I don't want to have these bad habits. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but at the same time, I'm like, you know what? Like, I want to enjoy myself, but I miss those things so much. Like, I actually looked at the bag of Doritos the other day. I was like, if they're gluten free, because dairy doesn't mess with me as bad as gluten does.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, I'll mess with dairy every now and then, but I'm like, if they're gluten free, I'm going in on these Doritos.
Yeah. And they weren't gluten free. If they can make gluten free pretzels, they should be able to make gluten free Doritos.
They do. They're just wheat flour. That's the problem, right? Like, that's why they're so fucking delicious, right?
It's because
they're
so
sweet.
They make gluten free Oreos. Those are pretty good.
Regular, I think they're better than
They're like, they have like a little bit of softness to them. I think they're pretty good. But but yeah, I would do the same thing. Like I said, I would have like, but you know, it's probably a good thing because I'd be like stopping at a deli and getting a sandwich and eating it over, you know, a couple of days, or I'd just order pizza. So it does help to have those allergies, like, because it forces me to eat a little bit healthier for sure.
Because like you feel horrible if you eat it.
Does.
Like,
it's
the worst. Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do. The dairy, I don't feel so bad, but the gluten, I do. The gluten, I feel horrible. Yeah.
Me too. And I get all swollen. It's awful.
Kim gets very aloof when she eats gluten. She's like very like scatterbrained.
What? Brain fog. One day it was in something that I had accidentally, or someone told me like, no, this doesn't, like this breadcrumb's gluten-free, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But whatever it was, I started getting shooting pains in my stomach and I was like, oh shit, that wasn't gluten-free. And I was like, you know what? This pain isn't worth it. You know, I felt immediately super bloated. I had shooting pains in my stomach and I said, I don't feel good. No good.
Yeah.
That night, I think it was that night or maybe the next morning, I woke up and I was like, I got my whole body up to my head got hot. Like, and I got dizzy and I was like, I'm going to pass out. And I kind of like sat down for a second. I got really nauseous.
Yeah.
I don't remember if I threw up or if it came out the other end or what it was. But it was one of the two things.
Came out somewhere.
and I remember saying like, I'm sick. Yeah. Something's wrong with me. Like I must have a horrible virus.
Yeah.
And then I realized I wasn't all there. Like my brain was like you said, like it wasn't scatterbrain, but it felt just like brain fog, like really, really bad brain fog.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was out for the day.
Yeah.
Wow. And I was like, holy shit.
And I can't drink anything with gluten either. Like if it's liquid, if like it's something that has like wheat or like caramel color or something, and I drink it, I am out. It takes.
Do you know that the only gluten-free chicken broth is Swanson?
Yes. Well, yeah, that was Real Progresso, isn't it?
No, I don't think so. I think it's Swanson.
There are not many, which is like I can't eat like delicious yummy vegetables because they always cook them in fucking broth. Like when you're out. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess to be honest, I don't really, I don't feel like now when I have soy sauce or something, I'm not so affected by it. No. I will notice that like it might make me irritable or tired or something like that.
Gluten-free soy sauce.
Yeah, but like, you know, so when you're at a sushi restaurant or something and you ask them, you can't always count on them to give it to you. You know what I mean? Like you don't know if they're being honest or anything like that. But but I definitely get less affected by those things. But if it's like actual gluten, I mean, when I was in Italy, I ate bread, I ate pizza, I ate cheese like crazy. It's America. This country is not what it used to be. I say all the time, I'm like, I'm a proud American, and I say all the time, I'm not Italian, I'm American, you know, but there's a lot of, you know, fucked up shit when it comes to healthcare. And I even said on my TikTok yesterday, I think that the government's making it like impossible for small businesses to survive.
Yeah.
You know, the healthcare, I pay $1,300 a month for healthcare for me and my daughter. Mm-hmm. Like for what? You know what I mean? Like I pay $500 a month for Manjaro so I don't get overweight again. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's like, you just can't keep up. And the gluten is the same thing. It's like, why is it so horrible? I mean, I know why, because it, you know, it saves them money and they make more money and whatever. Mm-hmm. But like at the end of the day, I it's very frustrating when someone like me can go to Europe and eat whatever I want and I can't have it here and it's totally okay. Like it's just accepted and it's okay. But you know, you go to Italy and you can't even get, you know, most Kellogg cereals because they're banned.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Crazy.
So I want my daughter to eat those things.
I want to go to Italy. I want to get off Manjaro for a couple of weeks. I'm going to have a good old time.
We need to plan that. We'll plan a plus size trip to Italy. Lauren's going.
Hey, I'll go. I would love to.
Show us where all the great places are.
I know where all the great places are. Yeah, I've been three times, and I was just there for my brother's wedding, and I kind of like changed my shot. Like I was like, I knew obviously that it was coming, so I like started like pushing my shot back a day or whatever.
Yeah.
So I took my shot the day we left, knowing that we were going to be there for 10 days. So towards the end of the trip, obviously I was like, oh my God, it's going to wear off. What am I going to do? But I was fine. I was like, fuck it. I'm going to eat whatever I want. I went there 117 pounds.
Yeah.
I came back 127. And I was like,
probably half of that was water and poop.
Yeah. I was like, you know what? I was like, screw it. I don't care. And you know what? I came back. I took my shot. A week later, it was gone, you know? And that's the other beautiful thing about this is that I was able to go to Italy and gain 10 pounds and not be like devastated. I'm only 5'3", so 10 pounds on me is a lot.
So,
to go there and gain 10 pounds, I was like, whatever, no big deal.
Well, also mentally, that's helpful.
The mental growth
is there, right? Because before, if 22-year-old Lauren gained 10 pounds, you would have been in crisis mentally. Especially in 10 days.
Oh my God, I would have been. You know how hard it is also for, you know, it's so easy to gain 10 pounds, but you know, without this drug to lose the 10 pounds is very, very difficult.
Yes.
You know, the one thing I'll say, and I would love to hear if you guys agree with me on this. So many people will reach out to me and they'll be like, I need to lose like the last stubborn 8 to 10 pounds. Like I want to go on this drug. And I'm like, listen, I don't judge anybody. I don't judge anyone, especially for this drug of what they choose to do or anything like that. But you've been 130 pounds your whole life. Okay. Yeah. You've had the luxury of being 130 pounds your whole life. I'm going to kind of jump on that train of telling somebody, what are you doing to lose weight? Yeah. Are you walking? You know, maybe give up dairy for a week and see what happens. You know what I mean? Maybe give up not just carbs, maybe give up gluten for a week and see what happens. Like if you're really doing everything to do this, you know, and listen, who am I to say, don't go on the drug for whatever.
Right.
But those are the people that I do think may be abusing it, are the ones that have been thin their entire lives, the ones that have never gone over 150 pounds and have never really done anything. And they're just like, oh, you know what? I recently gained 10 pounds. I want to lose it. I'll just go on this drug like everybody else is. Those are the ones that I'm like, listen, you don't know what it's like to struggle. Like, put a little work in.
I think that's what Eli Lilly, the new commercial that is premiering like right now, it's Oscar season. It just came on yesterday, where Eli Lilly is shown. It is saying this drug is not for vanity.
I mean, legitimately, just take Phentermine if you want to lose 10 pounds.
You know,
that's what that's for. That's what that's for. Like, I'm not, and I'm not a big one. Like, I'm the same with you. Like, I'm not big into telling people. I will tell you, I was though. I was judgmental as hell before I learned all this stuff.
I was going to say that the thing that fired me was
you don't have obesity. You don't need to take. But I don't feel like that.
When Dolores Catania came out and said that she was on, well, she had switched to Mounjaro initially. She was on Ozempic, and when she came out and said she was on it, like that's she's like Kat. She's a big girl fitty, just like Kat, right? Yeah. And when she came out, it really, really, really sparked both me and Kim to start talking about it. Because here's the thing, even though maybe now they might only have 10 pounds loose, you don't know what they looked like before. And the other part is you can't see their food noise. You don't know how strong they're struggling. Like, I'm sure that when Dolores was overweight, because she's always been a fitty, she probably threw herself more into working, you know, working out more to try to keep up, right? Because, well, like you said earlier, all those women on that show are super thin.
Yeah.
What I'll tell you about Dolores is she's like an aunt to me. I'll put it that way. And I actually have credited her before she was ever a housewife to why I'm so open and honest and, you know, brutally honest in a lot of ways and very honest about who I am and the things that I do. She's a lot of it because I grew up watching her, like, you know, being single and watching her be a single mom and her, you know, her kids were like my little cousins growing up. I remember they were younger than my daughter and we would spend the weekends together, you know, driving around in the car and Frankie would crack us up. And he, and, you know, I still talk to Gabby all the time and, you know, they're like, they're my family. And I remember always admiring how honest she was. So whether she was dating somebody, she, you know, she would be like, I mean, yeah, he's fine. You know, he's, you know, he takes care of me, you know, he buys me things, you know what I mean? And she was always very honest about that. And I remember bumping into her at a bagel store 1 year before Housewives. And I was like, you're so skinny. What are you? And she's like, oh, I'm taking this pill. It's called Phentermine. It's fucking amazing. You got to get it. You want me to get it? I'll get you hooked up with the doctor. And like, that's how Dolores always was. So I always credit her for my brutal honesty and for always telling people like, yeah, this is me. Listen, obviously there are things about me that are private that I'll never talk about publicly, but you know, at the same time, you know, there's, because especially when it's comes to like my breast reduction surgery, any of my weight loss surgeries, things like that, Botox, Mounjaro, whatever. I never thought to myself, I'm going to hide that I'm on Mounjaro. You know, I wanted to start it without talking about it. And then I never came out like, oh, I'm on Mounjaro. I was just doing a TikTok one day. I was like, yeah, I'm on Mounjaro, because it was just such a natural thing to me. And I got attacked, you know? But Dolores is somebody that I admire because she doesn't hide anything, you know? And then, you know, and then I kind of, you know, when I was on a Page Six podcast on a stage and I kind of came out and said like, yeah, well, I've been taking Mounjaro and whatever. And again, things exploded and blew up and people were attacking me and whatever. But like, one of those things that I love about Dolores is that, you know, she's able to go on and say, yeah, I'm doing this. And people might tell her that she's too skinny. And Dolores has always struggled with her weight, you know, but she's never been fat. And she will be the first one to tell you, I got surgery on this. I got a nip and a tuft here and I got that. And I did this pill and I did that, and, you know, to keep myself thin in a weight loss surgery or whatever she's done. I don't even know, but she'll be the first one to tell you, you know, and I think that that's very important. And that there are these celebrities or even these TikTokers now that are celebrities now, these TikTokers. And, you know that they're on it. You know, one of my favorite people in the world. I adore her. I absolutely am obsessed with her. Since American Idol is Kelly Clarkson.
Oh my God.
You cannot tell me for 1 second that Kelly Clarkson is not on.
I forget to breathe when she sings. I love her so much.
I love her. She is, has always been one of my favorite people. But she, I don't think she'll ever admit that she's on it. And, you know, then that's not to call her out or anything like that. I mean, I don't know for a fact, obviously, but she's always reminded me so much of myself. I mean, she was, you know, just her. You could see her yo-yoing, you know, we kind of went through a divorce at the same time, and you know, I really love her, and she reminds me of myself so much. Like, I see her on stage and people are like, I want to take a picture of you, and she's like, yeah, take a picture of me, because I don't know how long I'm gonna look like this, like, I look good. Or she'll like, someone wanted to give her a shot of tequila, and she like goes and she takes it, and my friend Greg sends it to me, and she's like, he's like, you are Kelly Clarkson. I'm like, I fucking know I'm Kelly Clarkson.
That's why I like it so much. It makes sense.
But I wish she would just say, like, and like I said, maybe she's not, but I doubt it. You know, it came off real quick, you know, and she looks amazing. And, you know, I think if someone like her came out and admitted to it, someone that's not a reality star,
right?
Someone that's not a TikToker or a YouTuber or a social media influencer. Someone that has a good head on her shoulders, someone that's smart, someone that's super successful, and a celebrity that needed it. Not a celebrity like one of you had said that about the commercial for Vanity or something like that, of being, you know, to already being skinny and doing it to be really skinny. A celebrity that truly looked unhealthy and needed. I remember seeing her and being like, I wish she would take care of herself, because I was there, you know, I was where she was. You could tell that the stress had a lot to do with her and how she was looking at the time. And, you know, I had been through what she had been through. And then all of a sudden it was like, bam. And it was like, I know what she's doing, and she's denying it. And that's fine. That she doesn't have to tell us what she's doing with her. It's none of our fucking business, to be honest.
It's health, right? Like, if she was on a new blood pressure medicine, like, she
absolutely
would,
like, it's not our business.
Tell you about this blood pressure medicine.
I mean, her, you know, health issues are none of our business. So here I am talking about how I wish she would come out and talking about, you know, so I'm being a little bit of a hypocrite, you know? So I'm totally contradicting myself in a lot of different ways. It isn't any of our business.
You're coming from a place of like how powerful it would be if she did, because this was a celebrity that clearly needed it.
Oh yeah. And I think it probably, like, if she came out and said like, hey, you know, maybe she had the same issues with her blood work. Maybe her counts were absolutely insane. Maybe her anxiety and stress was crazy. Maybe her depression was crazy. And this had helped it in so many different ways. And I think that if she did do this drug, if she came out and admitted it, instead of someone like me, who is hated for being, you know, I don't feel I'm famous, but I feel, you know, as a public figure, you know, is hated for being an influencer now, hated for being popular on social media, because it's so easy to hate on people like us because we don't have a talent. We don't, you know, have anything like that. So it's very, very easy to,
I don't
hate
know.
You know
us.
Though I've always felt though like you and your mom, like, and by the way, tell me if you think I'm totally wrong, but I feel like the reason that you and your mom got a lot of hate spewed towards you is because you guys are not scared to just say it like it is. This is how it is, and we're gonna talk about it, and we're not gonna bullshit around, we're not gonna pussyfoot around the bush. This is what this is what's happening. This is the real.
Right? And we get a lot of hate for those things. But what I also believe is that at least we're always ourselves and like stay true to who we actually are. If we do get hate for it, at least I never have to worry about saying like, why did I do that? You know, why did I choose to act that way? Why did I choose to say something that is so out of my, you know, I don't even believe that, you know, I don't even want to be that person. So it's given me, you know, the opportunity to kind of be able to look back and be like, yeah, I got hate for that. Or yeah, people don't like me. A lot of people don't like me. A lot of people don't like me. And I'm like, listen, I'm not everybody's cup of tea, but at the end of the day, I know that I'm a nice person. I haven't always been, you know, great, you know, but I've grown, I've been in therapy for a long time. I've, you know, I've become a better person in the last, you know, 5 years. And I think I'm very proud of who I am, you know? And, you know, if someone doesn't like me, at least I know I'm proud of who I am. You know what I'm saying? Like, totally. and that's okay. You know, and my mom, you know, my mom's like that too. My mom definitely has a little more of like a shield up than I do when it comes to, you know, she definitely puts on a little bit of she has this like television persona where she talks a certain way or do certain things. And I'm like, Mom, why do you only do that when we're filming or when we're on a podcast or when we're whatever? And she's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And I'm like, you do. You act a little different. She'll clap her hands like this when in real life she'll never do. I'm like, why are you clapping your fucking hands? Like, she like doesn't like, and she doesn't even realize that it's something that she's doing.
It's like her persona, like, versus like,
yes, it's like, I think it's a way, because she's been, my mom's been through so much, and she's been through so much on reality TV and things like that. It's almost like it protects her a little bit, you know?
I was going to say, well, anxiety too, right? Like when you've got anxiety and you're, you know, you still want to put yourself out there, but you want to put yourself out there in a way that people can digest. Right, you got some anxiety about that, so maybe give Caroline a break if she wants to clap her hands.
No, she definitely she's definitely like has this tough guy thing on television when she's really not really like that. Like, you know, you don't walk into her house and she, like, you know, listen, she'll definitely be like, if I bring my dog there, she'll be like, why'd you bring the fucking dog? You know what I mean? And she'll like, you know, and you know, but at the same time, she's like, she knows that my daughter loves the dog so much. And she's like, oh, where's Polly? Why didn't you bring me? You know, she's very, she's very sweet. She has this like hard shell on TV, you know, but I would definitely say, you know, I mean, that's all besides a point, but yeah, she,
I get it.
It's better to just be 100% yourself.
We've grown that way too, right? Since the podcast, because we kind of have our own little shticks and personas and, you know, and stuff like that, it's different. It's like, I have this thing though, where I just keep trying to keep myself like grounded, you know, like I've always said that, like, we know a thing with TikTok, right? Like, it could go down tomorrow. Right. Cause
I sent a screenshot to my family yesterday. Yeah. I said, all it took was for Amanzo to start profiting off of TikTok, for TikTok to like really maybe get shut down. And I'm like, I've had it for so long, and I've had the capability of being in the creators fund for so long, but I didn't think that, I was like, oh, that's bullshit. What am I going to make a couple cents? And then one day I was like, fuck it, let me do it. Yeah. And I'm like,
ooh, you're like, oh my god, bills are paid.
I'm like, I could pay my mortgage every month from TikTok just posting videos, and now God forbid, I think it might go down. I'm like, what am I gonna do if this goes down?
Just keep eating Shake Shack, because those are my favorite videos. You actually
I'm done with it.
Listen, when I was in Atlanta, I tried Shake Shack for the first time because you told me those burgers were amazing. And by the way, it's the best burger of my life. They're so good.
They had a good gluten-free bun, a very good gluten-free bun. But it was my hyperfixation meal for a long, oh my God, amazing gluten-free bun. And it was my hyperfixation meal for a while, where like I would get it all the time because I could only eat half or a quarter because of Manjaro. So I would get it and I'd cut it in fours or in half, depending on, you know, where I was in the week on my shot. Yeah. And now I abused it, and now it's like, you know, when you're just like, you've had something so much, you're like, I can't have this anymore.
First video that I came across of yours was, I was like, oh my God, Lauren Manzo's on TikTok. What? And it was literally you sitting there going, oh, you don't think I eat? Oh, okay. You know, and you're like crunching the burger and chewing in the mic. It's
perfect. Or people get so mad that I have my eating videos, so I literally just eat silently just to piss them off. They get so mad. I'm like, whatever, I'm getting paid. So I'm the one laughing all the way to the bag. I'm going to have to listen to the podcast and really like, you know, really like let it register a little bit better in my head.
For sure.
But yeah, I wish, like, cause that's something I would like to do, is be able to talk more educated about it. I did a documentary for Fox Nation. Is it called? Is that what it's called? I don't know. If I guess it's like TMZ, or like, it could also be like on like Netflix or something like that. I don't know what it was, something. And, these people had reached out to me and they were like, we know you're one of the only people that we know that's a public figure that has been open about being on this drug. So I did an interview with them. I was at about 140 pounds at the time. I was still like in the middle of my journey, and it never aired.
Yeah.
But so it's interesting. So this is really the first thing that'll end up, because I know that they interviewed Dr. Dubrow, I think it was. And I know that the producer had told me that Dr. Dubrow said that he felt like this was a miracle drug. And it was really a great, like, they apparently had interviewed a bunch of different people in Hollywood, even, that, you know, that were saying about how they have a lot of celebrity friends that are secretly on it and stuff like that, and how great it's been for people, but it never aired. So it's like, it is definitely still like kind of a taboo thing. So I appreciate what you guys are doing to try to educate people, and hopefully, you know, we can make it something that's more normal and not such a negative thing, you know?
Yeah. Did you take Ozempic first, or did you just do Mounjaro?
I went right into Mounjaro. And people will say to me, like, how are you losing? Like, how did you lose so fast? And it really wasn't fast. I mean, there were times that I was like, I didn't lose any weight this month. You know, why? And the doctor would be like, be patient. Like, one day you're going to wake up and you're going to be down 10 pounds. And
that's exactly
the one thing I did, which I know isn't good and isn't healthy, and I don't recommend doing this, they would be like, how are your side effects? And I'd be like, great, I don't have any. Because I was like, I want to go up my dose, you know? So I will suffer and I'll be nauseous and I'll feel like shit. Because I want to go up in that dose because I want to lose more weight. So that definitely, I know you had mentioned before, there are people that don't tell their doctors how they're feeling. Yes. And I was that person that I didn't want to tell them how I was feeling because I wanted to go up. Everybody's
that person, to be honest.
Yeah, everybody is to a point.
I have a cousin, because when insurance covers it, you really can't be that person.
Yeah.
So I have a cousin, her insurance covers it, and she's on Ozempic. And she's like, she's been on such a low dose for so long. And I'm like, insist that they put it higher. Yeah. Like, you've lost weight, but like, you should insist that they go higher with it.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm like, the reason, I mean, I really didn't start losing weight rapidly and really seeing a big difference. There was a time that I was like, my goal my whole life has been to be 120 pounds.
Yeah.
I've never been 120 pounds in my entire life. That is a life goal for me. And I remember, you know, when I was on, I think I was on 10 milligrams.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I don't think it's ever going to work for me. I don't think it's ever going to happen. I said, because maybe my body doesn't want to be there. Maybe my body's not built. And I was like, but it doesn't make sense because I'm so petite. Like, I'm not big bone. I'm small. So like, I don't understand why I can't get to 120. And once I hit 12.5, it was like, boom. And then 15 was like, boom. I was like, oh shit. And now, then I was like, let me go back to 10 and go a little bit lower, you know, but that 12.5, it's like, no joke. And that's what really makes you, to be honest, that's what I have now in my fridge. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to take it. I'm like, I kind of feel like,
cause it's a lot.
It's a lot.
I went down from 15 cause I felt so crummy.
I'm up
like, you can ask them. I was a totally different person on 15. Like at first I was like, 15's great. I'm good. And then after probably the third month of 15, I was
maybe
like,
you might be like JT. She does good on the half doses. So she's more like a 2.5, 7.5, you know,
that,
she likes 12.5. Or is it the single?
That 15 is the devil in injection.
I like
Jernine calls 15 the upper room, and it is the upper room.
I feel like it took me there. I took one injection, but I did better on the lower dosages. Like, I lost 10 pounds my first month on 2.5.
Yeah.
So, but we know everybody's different. Yeah. But some people require those higher dosages. My body, I lost the majority of my weight, 2.5, 5, and 7.5.
Wow.
I never wanted to go above 7.5. I never wanted to.
Yeah.
And when I started stalling, I was like, dang, I was mad because I didn't want to be that girl that was on the higher dose. I didn't. And I was like, but then I got 12.5 and the half dosages just love me and I love them.
And other people are the other way around. They need the non-half doses.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
But,
well, like maybe that's why 10 did so good for you.
I never thought of it that way.
And I've been on 10 for the last month. And like I said, today I'm going on 12.5, which, like I said, I really didn't want to do. I don't know what made me say, give me 12.5, you know?
Yeah.
No,
but, I think it's because it was probably harder to get 10.
But Lauren, guess what? I'm titrating down, right? So I just finished up 10. Guess what dosage I took last night? Because today is actually my shot day. I took a 12.5.
Hmm. So you had
And how do you feel?
So I feel okay. Like 10 was harsher for me than 12.5.
Interesting.
Because I wonder, because last week when I took the shot, I woke up in the morning, and because now I'm trying to time it in a way that, like, because I'll take it at night because, you know, then you sleep, whatever. But then I'm finding in the morning, especially with the 10 in the morning, I was like, just almost like depression. You know what I mean? Like you can't get up. You have that brain foggy. Like don't want to, you have a headache, you know, and I try to stay hydrated. I try to take like a leave before bed and stuff like that to, help those symptoms. But so I'm wondering now when I take it tonight, tomorrow, am I going to feel the horrible symptoms?
I know you got to go to work and stuff. That was so funny when you were like,
I don't have to go to work. I do laundry.
My hands are tan because I'm too spray.
I know. I've been doing spray tans literally like 20, it's prom season and fashion, like high school fashion show season. So my, and I don't wear gloves or anything like that. So my hands are just a disaster. So
Yeah, I get it. Well, I couldn't even tell until you said anything. I was like, oh, that's just shadow. I didn't even like go.
Oh, no. People would have noticed. They would have been like, look at her horrible. People will always have something.
They would have
to
made it a Manjaro side effect. Lauren Manzo has dirty hands because she takes Manjaro.
Exactly.
All that poison.
For sure.
Manjaro's making her hands orange.
Lauren Manzo drinks too many. Lauren Manzo has too many espresso martinis. Look at her hands.
Exactly. Yep, that's exactly what it is. Literally. Espresso
martinis.
I'll just get attacked no matter what I say, no matter how nice I am, no matter how horrible I am, I'm going to get attacked. So.
Well, if it makes you feel any better on the podcast, so we do the podcast on YouTube, we do audio too. I keep it a safe space because people come here to be vulnerable. So all that shit gets deleted. I don't keep it around.
It's okay. I'm not worried. So don't stress about deleting any mean comments about me or anything like that. I'm used to it. I've been dealing with it for a very long time. So it's fine.
That's kind of how I've morphed my feeling about haters on TikTok. Because I'm just like, if you want to hate me, it's fine. It's just crazy.
I don't know. I had a really one.
Just keep hating me. It's fine. Just keep commenting how much you hate what I have to say.
I missed about childhood obesity yesterday. This guy jumped in and he was like, you were obese and you were eight. What were you eating? What did you eat? And I was like all the childhood stuff just was full. First of all, I ate what everybody else ate. Right. But my other friends didn't have this problem. That's what teenagers eat, junk. Right.
Yeah.
I ate what everybody else ate. When I was eight, I ate what everybody else ate. But the fact that that person even thought it was okay. Yeah. And then when I was like, why would you do that? I was just a child. And he's like, if you're wanting to help people and you're putting it out there, you should be able to answer that question. I'm like, it bothered me all night long.
Like how people think that social media gives them a pass just to be an asshole.
Yeah.
It's like, such, hey, it's the weirdest about this thing one topic. To me.
That means you can go into your childhood fucking trauma. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
It's funny that you were eight, I remember being down the shore with my family and my best friend was always so skinny and beautiful. And I remember being like, if I eat what she eats, I'll look like her. So like if she would order chicken fingers or french fries, I would order chicken fingers or french fries because I was like, I eat exactly what she eats, I could be like her. Like I remember thinking like she had a body, like I would compare it to Britney Spears. Like she's so skinny. She's so tiny. Yeah. She always looks so good. She's blonde and whatever. And I'm sitting there like all fat, you know, in a mess. Yeah. And I would be like, how come if I'm eating the same thing she's eating that I don't look like her, you know?
Yeah.
And it's funny because with my daughter, I say all the time, you know, she eats what she wants. She was raised eating, you know, she grew up eating normal foods. When she went to preschool, it turned into chicken fingers and french fries and mac and cheese. Like that's all she wants now, you know, buttered pasta, whatever. But the one thing that I will never say to her is like, you need to finish your plate.
Yeah.
And sometimes her babysitter that she's had since she's 3 years old, she's an older woman and she's, you know, she's more like a grandmother to her. She'll be like, no, Marky, you have to have, you know, four more bites. And I'm like, no, she's done. She said she's done. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Mark, if you want, if you're done and you ask me for junk, then that means you're not full. Is your belly full? Mm-hmm. Yeah, my belly's full. Okay, fine. And then 45 minutes later, if she wants a cookie, no problem. Listen, if she starts saying, mommy, I'm hungry. When we get in bed, and she's like, mommy, I'm hungry. And I want, because she wants snacks. She likes snacks. She wants junk. She wants sweets. And I'm like, no. I said, because you know, and listen, she's so tiny. She's very, right now. And
she's
my dad said, he's like,
girl.
Thank you. But my dad was like, do you think she'll stay skinny forever? And I said, there's no chance. You know, she got fat jeans with her mom and her dad. Like one day, I know that day's gonna come that she's going to just come back from school from one summer, go back to school, and I could see her being the chubby girl, you know? Yeah. And she's so tiny and so skinny now. And so I'm trying to say to her, like, I said to her the other day, I said, Mark, I'm sick of you getting in bed and saying to me, mommy, I'm so hungry. I said, because that tells me you didn't eat enough of your food. Yeah. So like, when I say have more chicken, it's because I want your belly to be full. So like when you're done eating, don't tell me you're done eating and expect me to give you a cookie. That's not how it's going to work. But it's also not finish your plate in order for you to get dessert.
Yeah.
Stop eating when you're hungry, you know, when you're full, you know, don't keep eating because I'm telling you to eat. But at the same time, don't tell me that you want cookies to fill your belly up. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, but I'm trying to figure out how to raise her to not have those issues that I had. And sometimes even when Vito will come here to spend, he comes here on certain days to spend with her. And, you know, I let him come in the house because it's what's more comfortable for her. And he'll say to her sometimes, like, finish your dinner. And I'm like, no. Yeah. I said, don't do that. And he'll be like, why? Don't you want her to finish her dinner? I'm like, do you want her to be like us? Because Vito has a lap band too. And I'm like, Vito, we don't want her to be like us. We don't want her to have the issues that we had where she feels like she gets a plate this big and she's got to eat it.
Yeah.
You know, like admitting, if she doesn't, she eats off the burger. She's fine.
Yeah.
Like, let it go. And he's like, okay. And then, and, you know, we're able to kind of communicate that way to make sure that we don't give her those same issues.
Because not passing on those issues to
her plate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. My, my kiddo is 11. And so he's on the spectrum. And so he has a lot of stuff with food anyway, but like, I've kind of been the same way. Like, how do I not put my like shit on him, how do I, so where he doesn't have like an issue with food. Right. But also teach him well. So like we just talked about, like, I said, listen, like, here's the thing. Like, I know we don't talk about food a lot. And I was like, but I want you, when you eat, just eat your protein first. Like, that is a good way. Yeah. And there, and I was like, and there is no good food or bad food. It's just food, but you do have, it's just like a gas station, right? You've got your premium fuel, right? Mm-hmm. And you got your generic fuel, and all the fuel will get you where you're going. But if you want to keep your car in good shape, you go with
it's a good way to think about it. And he was like, I've been trying to say to her, like, eat the chicken, you know, not the mac and cheese, start with the chicken, you know, and cause that'll fill your belly longer. Like now I'm trying to teach her that, but I just don't want to, you know, we all have such an unhealthy relationship with food and I'm trying to like not let her have the same thing. But at the same time, like, you know,
the seconds has been a big thing for us too. Like when he'll be like, oh, like I want more. And I'll go, I'll tell you what, you wait 10 minutes because your brain and your tummy need some time to communicate. And in 10 minutes, if you want more food, you can have more food.
That's interesting that you say that. Cause that's like the learning factor, right? Like we're learning all these things and we're like sort of blowing some of our family's minds, like not even just kids, like adults too.
For sure.
You know, we're learning a lot more than we ever knew before.
Well, because our bodies are working, right?
Taking what our parents did wrong and learning from that. And even knowing, like, and I say to my mom all the time, I'm like, mom, sometimes I'm in therapy and I'll say, and I said this on my TikTok the other day, I said, sometimes I feel, I just can't cry. Like, and I just, I don't cry. I never cry.
Yeah.
And my therapist said, when you were younger and you would cry, what would your mom say? And I would say, she would say, stop crying. I don't want to hear it. And I said, you know what though? She had three kids under three. Okay. Yeah.
She did.
I have one 7-year-old kid.
Literally. Tired of hearing.
Yeah. So when my 7-year-old daughter cries, I have the mental capacity to be like, come here, why are you crying? And then once she keeps going and now she starts being dramatic, I'm like, all right, that's enough. Like, stop, you know? Yeah. But, you know, I say it's okay to cry. It's okay to let it out, you know? And I try to, because my therapist was like, you were trained from a young age that crying wasn't good, that you had to stop. And there are so many times that I try so hard to, like, I'm like, I want to cry. Like, you need to get that emotion out. Like, it's good to do that. And I said to my mom, I was like, because when I was younger, and then she does this thing, oh, I know I was a terrible mom. I'm like, no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you were the best mom in the world. You did the best that you could. You know, you basically were alone raising us because daddy was working so much, but like, you did the best that you could. And like, I'm learning from the things that stuck with me. That made me in a way that, you know, like I'm trying to learn from that and I'm not trying to make the same mistakes with my daughter. You know what I mean? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they weren't necessarily even mistakes that, you know, you might consider me not crying so much as being strong, you know, maybe she made me stronger and that's what, you know, telling me to suck it up did. Maybe you could look at it that way, you know, but at the same time, as far as eating and everything goes, I'm trying to break those generational habits, you know?
Yeah,
so, you know, you have to like learn from your parents, you know, the good things and the bad.
It's good that you have grace for your mom though. I feel like that about my family too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she sees it as like, she's like, you know, oh, of course it's my fault. I was a terrible mother. I'm like, mom, no, you were great, mom.
No, you just happened to not be awesome in this one.
Yeah, I'll say all the time. I'm like, I just wish when we were younger, like you made us at least like pay our car insurance. Like you bought us all cars, but like you should have made us pay our car insurance. She's like, oh, I'm sorry. Did we? Was it horrible that we paid your gas?
I just did too much for you.
Yeah, she's like, we did too much for you. I'm like, no, but I just wish you taught us lessons. Like, okay, we got you this car. Yeah. you, but we all had to work. We were all forced to work all the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, because we had to learn, you know, hard work and whatever. But like, I'd go to Free People and spend my paycheck. I'm like, I just wish I had to be like, let me put this much aside for car insurance and gas. You know what I mean? Like, I wish totally that he would taught me those lessons. And, you know, she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry we gave you a BMW for your first car. And I'm like, okay, Ma.
Yeah. Honestly, like, I learned the same thing. Like, that's how we are with, like, with my kiddo is like, we'll probably help him get his first car, but like, he's going to have a little job. He's going to have to pay for the project.
You know, he's already got a job.
He does have a job. He helps me with Bomb Party. I sell Bomb Party. Do you know Bomb Party, Lauren?
No.
It's like these fun little rings and they're in bath bombs and you go on like a TikTok live and you drop them in and people buy like $20, right? And you drop it and people, you don't know what it is. You just buy the size you want and they reveal it. It's cute. And you can reveal a diamond. Like, so, it's really fun.
So Renny got a job. Me. He's a shipping manager.
Yeah. Oh, I love
He's my head of shipping and receiving. Yeah.
Well, he's got it like figured out. Like, well, Mom, like, okay, I have to work this amount of time because I want to make this much money. We have to go live for a while because I want to make this much money.
I mean, he uses it on Roblox, but
still. That's okay. But hey, Roblox, those Robux, or my daughter wanted a face the other day, and I was like, all right, how many Robux is it? And it was like an insane amount of Robux. So I was like, well, let's see how I was like, Marky, that's going to cost like $500. like a little face. I was like, I'm not, I was like, no. I was like, even if you have, like, for your birthday, if you get $500 worth of Robux, you are not getting that face. Like, that is not what you're spending your Robux on.
Yeah. Do not spend all of that. That's the whole, like, don't spend it all in one place thing.
And the Robux are literally like, it's like two, it's like the face is literally like a line, like two eyes here of a line. Yeah. And then like, and that's it. And I'm like,
no.
Well, it literally would cost, I think it was like, I think it was over $500. Oh, so gosh. I called, because she goes, well, Daddy always says that he would do anything to make me happy. So I go, okay, call Daddy. Oh, so I said, well, I said, she says that you'll do anything to make her happy. So he's like, right, what is it? So I tell him, and I'm like, so with this many Robux, he's like, well, how many dollars is that? So I tell him, he's like, are you out of your fucking mind? He goes, Mark, if you want to do that, then you got to save your Robux. You're not, you know, if you don't save your Robux, then I can't get it. I said, even if you save it, you're not buying that face. Absolutely not.
That's like, a rip-off. Way. And as your mother, I must protect you from rip-offs.
Like, please. I'm like, you know, it's not even like it's a cool outfit and you're going to want to change the face a week later. So no, we're not doing this.
Right. I love it.
Funny.
I love it.
I have a lot of lessons I teach with Robux. I do.
Yeah.
It helps.
Don't talk to strangers. All I'm like, what do you mean? No, the second somebody you don't know is talking to you, you let me know.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's crazy. This world is crazy.
This world is crazy. Mm. Oh gosh, this has been so fun, Lauren. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Well, thank you, ladies, so much.
Thank you so much, Lauren. I really appreciate it. It helps us a lot.
Of course. I'm happy to do it. All right, ladies. Thank you. Tell Kat I said thank you as well.
Absolutely.
Right, thank you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Love it.
Of GLP-1 medications. GLP-1s combat cravings, stabilize blood sugar, boost energy, and balance A1C levels for a regulated body and a kick-started weight loss journey. Iveem makes medical weight loss accessible, affordable, and personal. Schedule a free consultation with a medical provider to explore if GLP-1 medications are the right fit for you. Goodbye restrictions. Hello, Iveem. Your path to sustainable weight loss.
Time for a change rooted in lasting, evidence-backed wellness. Say goodbye to unsustainable diet culture with Friday's Weight Management Program, a nationwide virtual care platform built to address your biology.
The reason why I started Fridays is that I noticed that patients with obesity are often improperly treated and told to eat less and move more. Well, the science is in, and we now know that obesity is a chronic medical condition like high blood pressure and diabetes, and that there are many factors, including your genetics, that play a role in the development of obesity. We understand this at Fridays, and that's why we make sure to order labs and specific medications that work with you and your biology.
For revolutionizing weight management, steering clear of weight loss fads, and embracing a scientifically driven approach. Our program charts a path to a healthier you, leveraging evidence-based treatments, nutritional support, and a team of specialized clinicians dedicated to guiding you towards optimal health. We ensure swift appointment scheduling and provide a knowledgeable insurance team for handling prior authorizations for GLP-1 medication. Fridays will also provide safe, compounded GLP-1 medication alternatives with fair and industry-leading pricing. Our eligibility quiz will match you with the provider that corresponds with your medical needs. Go to joinfridays.com to begin your journey to a healthier you today. Are you interested in understanding GLP-1 medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, or Mounjaro? Then join us on The Plus Sides, Cracking the Obesity Code, the groundbreaking podcast helping people change their lives one episode at a time. The Plus Sides podcast is a disruptor. We're breaking down barriers, smashing stereotypes, and sharing inspiring stories that'll leave you feeling informed and empowered. Join us every week to learn from doctors who are specialists around GLP-1 medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, or Mounjaro. They'll provide you with science and facts to validate these incredible stories. But that's not all. We'll also bring you the voices of the GLP-1 Mounjaro TikTok community, real people who face the challenges of obesity-related diseases and disorders and discovered the incredible plus sides of GLP-1 medications. Our episodes are filled with heartwarming stories, laughter, and moments of triumph. You'll connect with our amazing community members who are reclaiming their health and experiencing their fullest lives. Are you ready to embark on a journey of discovery and empowerment? Tune in to The Plus Sides, Cracking the Obesity Code, and together we'll change the narrative around obesity and end the stigma. Subscribe now on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform and join our incredible community. Let's celebrate the plus sides of life together, because every story deserves to be heard. Every life deserves to shine, and everyone deserves access to expert knowledge and medication. The Plus Sides Podcast. You're not alone. It's not your fault.